feels good to be back with you guys this week. Our vacation was very nice last week, but we missed you, and it's good to be back. A couple months ago, I saw a fascinating video on YouTube. You might think, oh boy, where are you going with this? Because you watch all kinds of, honestly, really meaningless nonsense on YouTube. But this was a fascinating video. It was a news clip from the BBC from a long time ago, probably the early 50s. And it was a news feature on a shepherd in Ireland, I think it was. And the anchorman, the newscaster, was interviewing this guy and said, our understanding is that shepherds can tell between their sheep. They can distinctly know and recognize the sheep in their flock, even though to the casual observer, they all look basically the same. And that you would be able to immediately identify any sheep, no matter how big your flock is, that did not belong to you. And he said, this seems really hard to believe. Is that true, or is that kind of a myth? And the shepherd said, no, that's absolutely true. Even with a very large flock, I know all of my sheep individually. And if there was a sheep that did not belong, I would be able to recognize it immediately. And so they said, okay, let's start with the test. Tell us about this sheep. And they picked one out. He said, oh, I know this sheep. This sheep is so-and-so, and it's the daughter of these two sheep, and the granddaughter of this sheep over here. They did that with a few. I said, okay, that's impressive, but we're going to give you another test. And what they did was they marked under the hooves of several sheep that did not belong, that were from another flock. And they said, we're going to let these sheep loose and mingle with your sheep. And we want to see how quickly you can tell the sheep that don't belong to you. There were dozens of sheep in this flock. They let several loose after putting a little mark on the bottom of their hooves. And they said, okay, we're ready. And he turned around and he looked and he was able to immediately say, that sheep does not belong to me. That sheep, I don't recognize that one. And it's so funny because I'm watching this video and they all look exactly the same to me. They all look identical. I mean, they're just sheep. They all look like the same fluffy white thing. There's not spotted ones and striped ones, and they all look totally identical to me. And yet to this shepherd, who was in charge of protecting them, feeding them, he knew them. He knew his sheep, even though they all looked the same to an outsider like me. In today's passage, which is John chapter 10, if you want to turn there, what we're going to see is that Jesus is the ultimate shepherd to whom good shepherds like that guy in that BBC segment point to. Because in John chapter 10, Jesus gives us some teaching, some encouragement, to help us understand and rest in the fact that Jesus as our shepherd is one who gives us comfort, who gives us protection, who knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. We're going to talk about that today. So if you haven't done so already, please turn with me to John chapter 10. We're going to look at the first 18 verses together. As we've been going through the book of John, what we've seen is a lot of instances in which Jesus is explaining his identity, explaining who he is, and using a variety of metaphors, whether it's to say he's living water or the bread of life. Here he talks about himself as a shepherd. And in this passage, what we're going to see is that we can find comfort in the knowledge that we belong to a strong and caring shepherd. I'm going to read the entire passage, and then we're going to jump around a little bit to draw out several particular points of encouragement that I hope are an encouragement to you today. But John chapter 10, verses 1 to 18 say this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. So we see in this passage, Jesus using primarily the metaphor of himself as the shepherd. He also talks about himself as the door, which we'll talk about in a moment. But here, essentially, what we see are three points of distinct comfort and encouragement I want us to pay attention to. And then after we look at those, we're going to briefly address what it means for us to be the sheep who listen to his voice. But the first point of comfort that we see here is that our shepherd knows us by name and loves us specifically. Verses 1 and 2, truly, truly, I say to you, which is Jesus' classic way of saying, you need to pay attention to this. This is an important thing, and I'm reinforcing this with this phrase. It's not to say that the other things that Jesus says aren't true. But he's saying, listen, this is truth that is absolutely critical for you to hear. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He's saying, look, I'm not like these other teachers that you've had. And we've seen this already before. What we've seen are the regular people in the crowd who don't have the reputation, the credibility to lose like the religious leaders do. They're listening to Jesus, and we see them say things like, this guy does not sound like everybody else. He teaches like he has an authority that our other teachers, as well learned as they are, don't seem to have. This guy's different. And he's saying here, yes, I am different. You've been exploited by false teachers, people who are selfish. They don't care about you. They just want the wool or they want the meat. There are people who hop the fence. And if you're hopping the fence, you're not really the shepherd. He has genuine authority as the shepherd and a role that's fundamentally different from these other people. He says, I'm not a thief, I'm not a robber, I'm the shepherd. To him, the gatekeeper opens. He doesn't have to jump the fence because he has the right to enter in because he owns the sheep. And it says there in the second part of verse 3, something that was easy for me to miss, but is distinctly encouraging. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Wow. You know, to me, watching that BBC segment, I think, well, sheep are sheep. I think if I was a shepherd and I had 50 sheep and I woke up the next day and it was a different 50 sheep, I don't even know that I would know the difference. But we know that real shepherds aren't that way, and Jesus is not that way. Jesus loves you with a specific love, not a generic one. There is grace, what we call common grace, which is God's mercy, God's provision that he provides to the entire world. And yet there is a very specific kind of grace that God pours out on his people. Jesus calls us by name. Jesus has called you by name if you're a Christian person. And he loves you. Your salvation is instigated by the shepherd. You don't have to wonder if your faith is strong enough to maintain your salvation, because your salvation does not originate with you. It originates with the shepherd. Your salvation ultimately comes from him. He loves you and calls you by name. Now jump ahead to verse 14. Verse 14, Jesus again says, he says, I'm the good shepherd, in case there was any mistaking who he's talking about. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. This is a profound theological statement. I know my own sheep the way the Son and the Father know each other. In the same way that God the Father and God the Son are intimately communing with one another in perfect relational knowledge, I know my sheep that way. A good shepherd knows his sheep, and since Jesus is the best shepherd, you can trust that he knows you perfectly. Now, to me, I know myself. And to me, left by itself, this knowledge that Jesus knows me perfectly, he knows absolutely everything about me, is not comforting knowledge. Because I'm a mess. I know myself. And if you were to say, the good news of the gospel is that Jesus knows absolutely everything about you, I would say, well, that does not sound like good news to me. But here's the good news. Is that he says, I know my own and my own know me just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus knows us perfectly and intimately and says, in that perfect relational knowledge, I will die for these sheep. Our shepherd knows us by name and loves us specifically. We can trust that he knows us and that he loves us despite his knowledge of who we are. He knows us like the persons of the Trinity know each other and was eager to show mercy on us by dying for us. Now in verse 16, he throws in something a little extra. He says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they'll listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. That is to say, there's one people of God. Those who are saved and redeemed by the shepherd from the nation of Israel, and those who are saved and redeemed by the good shepherd from the Gentiles, the other nations. It's by implication comforting for us to know that when Jesus says, I know each of you perfectly and I'm willing to lay down my life for you, that he also goes to the extent of saying, I'm not just talking about you guys who are sitting here right now. I'm talking about all of those who are my sheep from all over, in different places, different times, that I'll bring into this one fold. It's comforting to know that our shepherd knows us by name He loves us specifically and is eager to show mercy on his sheep. Secondly, our shepherd gives us guidance and protection as we walk through life. Look at verse 3 again. It says, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. What does that mean? Well, Jesus doesn't offer a passive declaration of love. I love these people. I hope for the best for them. He says, because I'm the shepherd, my job is to not just announce my protection of the sheep, my affection for the sheep. But what I will do is, because these sheep are entrusted to me, I will actively lead them. He doesn't leave us to figure out life on our own. He doesn't say, now that you've been converted, now that you're a born-again Christian, I hope you make it to the end. Best of luck. In verse 4, he says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The shepherd brings the sheep out of the pen to eat and drink. One of the main responsibilities of a shepherd is not just to round them all up at the end of the day, but to lead them safely out to pasture so that they can eat and drink, to protect them from outside dangers like predators, and to protect them from inside dangers like their own ignorance and stupidity, their proclivity to wander off. The shepherd doesn't open the gate and say, have at it. He opens the gate and he specifically tells us here, he goes before them. He leads them. He says, I'm going to stick with you and I'm going to show you the way to go. The sheep are not expected to find sustenance, to find safety by their own cleverness. Psalm 23, which is a psalm I could not help regularly thinking about as I was studying this passage, is a psalm about primarily David expressing a sense of joy and comfort using that same metaphor of God as his shepherd. It's a very famous psalm, probably the most famous. It's one of those passages where I feel like I know the King James version of the psalm better than the modern translations. But it starts by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, which is a very old-fashioned rendering. It really means I don't lack anything that I need. I'm not missing anything. In verse 3 of that psalm, he says, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That is to say, he displays the glory of his character, the glory of his name, by leading me actively in paths of righteousness. That is to say, a way that's defined by rightness. The Lord knows the right way for me to go, and he leads me in it. He displays his glory and his mercy by leading me in the right way. Jesus, before he left, we're going to talk about this in a few weeks, in John 14, John 16, Jesus gives a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit whom he would send after he left in order to comfort and help his disciples. He says, it's actually better for me to go and for the Holy Spirit to come instead. It's better to have God indwelling you than God in proximity to you. But Jesus, as our good shepherd, has given us the privilege of relying on that indwelling Holy Spirit to guide us, to preserve us in the faith, to give us the grace that we need to walk in a way that's pleasing to him. He hasn't left us alone. Christ's love for us is an active love, not a passive one. He not only died for us, as we're going to talk about more in a minute, he didn't just call us to be a part of his people, his flock, but has promised to actively preserve and guide and help us. Our shepherd gives us guidance and protection as we walk through life. Thirdly, our shepherd has promised abundant rest forever. Abundant rest. Look at verse 9. He says, I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So Here, Jesus is kind of shifting metaphors. He says, I am the shepherd. I'm the one who guards and protects and calls and leads the flock. But I'm really also like the gate to get into the sheep pen to begin with. I'm actually the means by which you become a part of the flock. By entering through the gate, you're brought into this flock, and that's me also. I'm not just the one who preserves you, I'm actually literally the means by which you become one of these sheep. He's the door. He says, if you enter my gate, if you become a part of my flock, there are three things he mentions here. You'll be saved, you'll go in and out, and find pasture. These are all related. They all kind of shed light on each other. And what Jesus means by when he says you'll be saved. Because that word saved, we throw it around a lot. But there's a strong implication there of needing rescue. If I'm sitting in my house watching TV and someone bursts in my door and says, I'm here to save you. I would say, well, I think I need some clarification on what exactly I'm being saved from. To be saved implies a dangerous situation that we need rescuing from. And that's why Jesus came. Because as John has continuously told us throughout his book, Jesus is the light who comes into our dirty basement of our hearts and turns the lights on and says, this is filthy in here, and you need me to clean it up for you. It says, go in and out. What does that mean? You'll be saved and you'll go in and out. This is a phrase that seems to indicate like the regular, continuous, ongoing preservation and imputing of grace to guide and help his people. He's a Savior who's here to stay. He won't drift away. He won't give up on us. He says, you're going to come into this flock and you're going to be regularly led in and out. Out for pasture, for feeding, for drinking. In for safety, comfort, rest. And you'll find pasture, like a helpless sheep being led to the comfort, the nourishment of green pastures. Jesus brings the comfort and nourishment in this life that we need. And then he says something startling. In verse 10, he has a contrast here. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. It is, you guys have been weighed down by these really selfish, pompous, self-centered, self-righteous teachers for so long. They're just looking to see what they can get out of you. That's not me. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. As opposed to the spiritual death that we're trapped in, apart from Christ, Jesus offers us overflowing life by his Spirit now and forever. Our shepherds promised us abundant rest, abundant comfort. I think when we started, I said I had three. I actually have four. The last one is this. Our shepherd accomplishes all this for us by his death and resurrection. Starting in verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand, not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them, scatters them. That's bad. He says, look, the guy who's just an employee, he does not care. The first sign of danger, he's gone. Because he's just there for the paycheck. He says, I'm not like that. Verse 13, he flees because he's a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus says, because I'm the shepherd, I'm totally, categorically different than these other guys. My job is to preserve and protect you even at the cost of my own life. And as we've seen, Jesus knows us perfectly, and he's still eager to lay his life down for us. I know my people the way I know the Father. And I'm eager, happy, resolved to lay my life down for them. Before you were born, Jesus knew everything about you and everything you would ever do, and was still eager to lay his life down for you. He's a good shepherd who accomplishes comfort and mercy and demonstrates his love for us through his death and his resurrection. Look at verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. We get the indication here that the Son brings pleasure to the Father through his obedience. And also Jesus lays out statements like this so that people make no mistake, and they will, but that they shouldn't, that this was not some tragic assassination of a peace-preaching figure. This was Jesus' plan to lay down his life for the sheep. It was not a promising career cut short tragically, but exactly what Jesus planned to do. He laid down his life to glorify the Father and to save the sheep. Jesus knows us. He calls us by name. He guides and preserves us through life. Jesus is the one who has provided rest and comfort and life, and eternal hope. And he's done all this, demonstrated his victory, his power, and his love for us through his death and his resurrection. So what does this mean for us exactly? We see indications sprinkled throughout this passage of our response to who Jesus is as our shepherd. He says things like this in verse 4, when he has brought all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. What do we see from this kind of thing sprinkled throughout this passage? Two things I would encourage you in. The first one is rest. Rest in the knowledge that Jesus has done all of this for you without your help. This is not an arbitrary metaphor, but to say that Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep is a picture of the fact that this entire salvation arrangement is rooted and grounded, infused with, and maintained by Christ's power. A life of godliness that begins with the mindset that we need to get good grades in God's school, that we need to earn our wages, that we need to show Jesus that we were worth saving by the things that we accomplish, is an exhausting life. But a life of godliness that begins with the knowledge that Christ has saved us and does preserve us and love us and has sealed our identity is a life of godliness infused with joy and perpetuated by it. Rest in the knowledge that Jesus has done all this for you without your help, and you can't mess it up. And secondly, to listen. This passage calls us to rest, and it also calls us to listen to our shepherd. Listen to his voice and to reject the voices of others. What does that even mean? How do we listen to the voice of Jesus? We listen to the voice of Jesus by, for one, paying attention to passages like this in which his very words are recorded for us. We listen to his voice through the study of the scriptures, both alone and in the context of fellowship like this. It means paying attention to the other voices that would call out for our attention. Now, we don't have Pharisees in our lives like this original audience did that want to distort the words of God. But we have plenty of other sources that will do that for us. We need to be careful about, at a very practical level, pastors, teachers, writers who claim to explain the scriptures to us or explain the gospel to us. We need to be sensitive to who we're listening to, who we're reading. We need to be careful about other things too, the content, entertainment and otherwise, that we put into our minds, the voices that we're listening to, the voices that we're paying attention to, and even the voices, the resonances in our own hearts that would try to exalt ourselves or that would run counter to the voice of Christ that we see in the scriptures. We rest and we listen because of all that the Good Shepherd has done for us and is doing for us. Let's pray.